Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom he died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. Hello, Saints. Wanted to talk a little bit about the money that is being made and the popularity of teachings concerning your thoughts. And your thoughts are very important. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23, verse 7. And Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 tells us to think on those things that are true, honest, just, pure, and lovely, and those things that are of good report. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Also, Romans 12, 1 and 2 says to be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or demonstrate what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, verse 1, that was verse 2. Verse 1 tells us that we're to offer our bodies a living sacrifice. And that always comes first. That is the cross right there. We have to have the cross for there to be resurrection grace. And that's what I wanted to talk about today. I believe most of the messages I've ever heard on the mind, and those are the using scripture as we just went over in a cursory form, and also 2 Corinthians 10 says, casting down imaginations. And yet so many of us are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, because I believe what's being left out is the cross. The cross must be at the center of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. In the divine economy, it's a cross economy. Without the cross, there's never going to be the resurrection grace to actually perform or see the grace of God performing in and through us the will of God. We can know the will of God and be ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, never seeing that truth of God actually made flesh or manifested in our particular individual life. And perhaps some people that are listening to me right now, as I've found myself many times as a believer doing, you're grappling, you know the truth in your mind, you got the bull by the horns, and you're trying to muscle your way through this Christian life. Well, it wasn't personally, let me just tell you a little bit of a personal testimony, if you don't mind, maybe 10 or 15 seconds worth of it, that there are a lot of things or several things I didn't have victory over until the cross became came into the center of my life. And then out of that cross, which I call the power generator of the Christian life, came the resurrection grace of Christ to bring the truth to pass in my life. Jesus said, you must, when you're saved, you must continue in his word, and then you will know the truth and be made free. Now, continuing in his word is not just learning, but doing his word. And at the center of the word of God is going to be that cross message, a denial of self, a taking up the cross and following Jesus daily. Now, somebody might say, man, that sounds pretty rough. Well, let me just say this as a man, a mere man, that there's a serendipity involved here. It's the very thing that you think is the last thing that would be the answer is actually the answer. The flesh doesn't like to die, but when you begin to do things God's way, you lay down your life, you say with John the Baptist, he must increase, but I must decrease. You're going to see the power of the living Christ raising you upward, and you're going to see the performance of his will by his grace working in your life, and you're going to get a taste of the goodness of God in a new and special way as you experience that victory. And you're going to probably do like me and shake your head and say, wait, wow, why didn't I know about this or do it years ago? You see, because in a lot of ways, what we're doing is we're looking at the Word of God and we're saying, all right, God said to do this, and let me get out and do it. Well, you know, maybe that works with some things, but some things it's not going to work with. We've got to have the power of Christ raising us up. And that's not going to come until we lay down our lives in this world and offer our bodies a living sacrifice. Then we're going to be able to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Amen. That's Romans 12, 1 and 2. Now, it's easy to just take a look at verse 2 and say, hey, I'm supposed to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. That's the truth. That's right there in God's Word. But what comes before that? Look at the context. We have got to present our bodies daily as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Amen. What is that? That's the cross. That's the death and burial we read about in Romans 6. I want to call your attention to Romans 6 and encourage you, saints, to make that a place of study this week, to pour prayerfully over that and pray that God would teach you the cross. Amen. That's a great way to start, a great place to start. Lord, teach me what it means and help me to be truly crucified with Christ. Amen. Galatians 2:20. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. Galatians 2:20, also Colossians 3:3, you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And that's a blessing, because when you're dead and buried, you conform to the image of Christ. You are obeying God and saying, Lord, I just surrender all. I just let go and I'm going to let you. You're going to see the resurrection power of Christ in your life, but you're not going to see it until you do things God's way. And God's way is the cross. Amen. Jesus said that except a corn or a kernel of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone, right? Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of God should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and what? Die. Go down deep, death and burial. It abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. What a blessing. He that loveth his life, Jesus says here in John 12, 23 through 26, he that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now notice here, Jesus is speaking of his own death and burial, and he is speaking of the resurrection that would follow, but first there had to be a death and burial. And that's how it has to be in our lives. God's not going to raise you up or me up until there's a death and burial that we're submitted to in our own lives. It's called the Great Exchange. So Jesus is speaking of his soon demise, if you will, his death on the cross, and how he would be buried and raised up, and it would bring forth much fruit. That resurrection of Christ brought forth the purchasing, or was the purchasing of the church at the cross, actually, on the cross. It is finished when his blood was shed. But then ultimately, when he raised again from the dead, it was to justify us and to complete the work of redemption. And then he says, he that loveth his life shall lose it. So you got to be willing to set aside your life to die to it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. There'll be resurrection, eternal life and glory to those who lose their lives in this world. And then he says, if any man serve me, let him follow me. What is that in the context of here? Well, he's saying that he's going to the cross. And he also calls us repeatedly in the Gospels to deny ourselves and take up our cross. Not his cross, our cross. His cross was to redeem the world. We can't do that. No one except Jesus, who by himself purged our sins, Hebrews 1 verse 3, could do that. And yet, we're to be conformed to his holy image by following him and being crucified with Christ, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. So basically, there are two aspects to the cross that we're talking about here, and that's the redemptive, propitiatory cross of Christ, who shed his blood for the sins of the world. And by that blessing and that sacrifice and his blood alone, can we be saved. Now, as his children, he tells us to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. And the only way we can follow him is by doing just that. Some listening may be struggling with sin. We've all struggled with sin. The Bible says we're striving against sin. Hebrews 12, verse 4. And the only way to overcome sin, the only way to think the thoughts of God, to think on those things that are true, honest, just, pure, and lovely, it's not by just hearing a message on spiritual warfare and talking about the battlefield of the mind. I mean, I don't know how many. I mean, that may be the most popular general topic I've ever heard preached on. I mean, it's always being preached. And there's a lot of truth in there, but perhaps we're missing the most important thing, and that's that you can't think those thoughts. You can't think on those things that are true, honest, pure, just, pure, and lovely, especially not in a consistent fashion outside of the crucified life where you're being raised up by the power of God to do such. That's how the Christian life must work. Now, we're going to look at in a minute how the thoughts of the fallen man's heart are only evil continually. That was right there preceding the flood of Noah in Genesis 6, verse 5 and 12. And that's how it is today. The old man, which Paul calls the corrupted, old, fallen nature, is only evil continually. Somebody said, wait a minute, I've been born again. That's true. And you're a new creature in Christ, and old things are passed away. But you have to enforce that victory through daily, Jesus called it daily, daily obedience to Christ and the crucified life, so that you can be resurrected into the new man. Amen. The new man is the resurrected man, while the old man is to be crucified. Both Ephesians 4 and Colossians chapter 3 talk about putting off the old man and putting on the new man. There is something to put off still in us. Paul is speaking to believers, and that's why we have to deny ourselves and take up the cross daily. Otherwise, the old man is going to be on the throne of our hearts and lives, and it's going to be wreaking havoc, as we have all experienced ourselves in a personal way. Even though you may be striving to think on those things that are true, honest, just, pure, and lovely, and cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, you've got, there it is again, right there in that text of 2 Corinthians 10, casting down imaginations, verse 5. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Watch the next words. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And when is your obedience fulfilled, other than when you are resigning yourself to the death and burial Christ calls you to, so that he can raise you up into the victory. Amen. Then you're going to have his power to cast down imaginations and every high thing. You can't conquer your own evil. Only God can. Neither can I. Sin and flesh cannot conquer evil. Jesus came and he conquered evil. And now we're going to read in chapter 6 of Romans a little bit about this co-death that we are to die with Christ daily. Now, again, let me say this again. Now, your dying to self is not redeeming you. Christ alone, his death was the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for your sins, not you dying. But in conforming to the image of Christ, in obeying this Savior that found and saves you by His blood, you cannot continue in sin, and you must do things His way, which is the way of the cross. Notice Romans 6:1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now let's stop right there. Again, somebody listening may be struggling with sin. A sin or different, more than one sin. Okay, that's normally how it comes. When the flesh is not crucified, there's no limit to the evil that will be worked through the flesh. Okay, and the deceitfulness of our hearts and minds. So we can't live in sin, Paul is saying here, and then have the grace of God appropriated continually into our lives if we're living in sin. Okay, it's not going to happen. So how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us who were baptized into Christ, that's not water baptism, now that's baptism into Christ. We were immersed into Christ when He saved us. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. There it is. That's the resurrection into the newness of the life Christ has called us to, one of holiness, which has to be preceded by death and burial, as we're reading right here in this passage. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. That's self-explanatory. That's self, what is that term I use? Can't remember. Anyway, it speaks for itself. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So again, the only way not to serve sin is to be crucified, keyword, with Christ. Verse 6 and verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. There it is again. The dead in this verse, we got to look for in the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. And I don't think there's a chapter in the Bible that brings it out as strong and as long as this one does, Romans 6. When you think about the cross that God calls you to take up, Romans 6 might be the first passage that comes into your mind, or one of the first two or three passages. And by the way, we've written three books on this topic to help you learn what the Bible says about it, not what any man says about it. I Die Daily is one of those books. That's a quote from 1 Corinthians 15:36. Highly recommended. Also, Raised Up, another blockbuster cross book. And then the third one is 31 Cross Prayers. Those are available individually or as a package deal on safeguardyoursoul.com. Also, all the books are available on Amazon, including a new one called Authentic, subtitle Disciple of Christ. Romans 6:7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if you don't remember anything from this message, which I hope you remember it all, every biblical part of it, remember this one and memorize this one to meditate on. Romans 6:7. He that is dead is freed from sin. Dead, that's the death and burial, and freed is the resurrection. And again, let's be aware of and prayerfully discern every time in the Bible where we see death, burial, and resurrection. Now, Brother Travis Bryan and I did about 100 programs, radio programs, on many of them, most of them on the cross. I highly recommend you check those out on safeguardyoursoul.com. So how do you get free from sin? How do we get free from sin? Somebody says, man, this is a sin that's plagued me all my life, or I'm struggling with it, I keep falling back. Listen, here's the key. And by the way, that all comes out of the evil old man, whose thoughts are only evil continually, Genesis 6, 5, and 12. And the only way that can be stopped is through the crucified life. And when we're crucified all the way to the core of our being, it's going to be the victory that we experience over these thoughts that rage, these iniquities that continue to spring up from within, these evil bents, B-E-N-T-S. That's what the word iniquity refers to, the evil tendencies and bents inside of us, which can only be tamed or done away, crucified by the prescription God gave us in His Word, and that would be the crucified life. There's no way to live the Christian life without living the crucified life. The crucified life is the Christian life. It doesn't matter if we don't ever, and we both know that it's virtually never taught. The cross is nowhere to be found in the Bible. And that's why you got so many people who are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They have the head knowledge, but it's not manifesting. The victory is not manifesting in their daily life. Now, that's another category we have on safeguardyoursoul.com. Is just go down to the V to drop down alphabetically listed categorical drop down menu and go to victory, and you will see lots of scripture there, different posts, audios, and podcasts, and written messages about how that victory is brought about. It's easy to talk about victory, but how is that victory wrought? How was Jesus's victory wrought? We know the victory happened when he was raised from the dead, right? And but that had to be preceded by the death and burial. And the same thing is true for you and I. We're going to have to experience death and burial to be raised up by God himself for the victory to be manifested in our lives, so that we're not simply ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Now, that's probably somebody listening to me that finds himself in a place where they've read all of these books from these different people, and they've listened to all of their messages, and they still today do not have the victory. Now, I'm not here to condemn you, friend. I'm here to help you. Now, if that is the reality that it's happening in your life, it doesn't have to continue. What we can do today is get before God and cry out to the Lord in prayer, to perhaps a good prayer to begin with was, Lord, you must increase, I must decrease, Lord. Please teach me what it means and anoint me to the death and burial of self so that you can be manifested and raised up in my life, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, I love you. Amen. Perhaps a prayer like that, friend, to the Lord today would be a great place to start. In fact, the book I mentioned earlier called 31 Cross Prayers is one prayer a day for the month, for a calendar month, 31 Cross Prayers, to pray. That's all biblical, about being conformed to the image of Christ, that you are dead and your life is hid with Christ. It's got scripture incorporated in each prayer, and every one of those 31 prayers is a cross prayer. And I believe that'll really help you. So Romans 6, 7, it's only those that are dead and buried with Christ who are going to be freed from sin. Now, stop for a minute and, you know, regrettably, that sin runs rampant in the modern church, okay? Sin that doesn't not have to happen. It's unnecessary. But what's missing? Why is that the case? Why can we listen to and be good church members and go to the little hoopla on Sunday morning and the pastor comes out, you know, even some in some cases preaching real good and all that, but there's no cross in it. So we still, even though we've been at the pep rallies every Sunday morning, every Wednesday night or whatever your schedule is, if you go to one of these churches, but yet we still find ourselves where we were 5, 10, 20 years ago. What's up with that? Well, it's real simple. We're not learning to die. In fact, the pastors aren't telling you how to die. They're not dying to self themselves. If they were, they'd be anointed to preach and would be preaching the crucified life. They themselves are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. And that's what kind of fruit they produce. That's the fruit, the lack of victory that you see in those who follow them. You know, for example, how many Christians, let me give you one example. How many Christians that go to church do you know who are on fire disciples of Jesus? Now, if you're like me, you could probably or maybe count them on one hand, which I don't think I could do. And I know a lot of people, a lot of Christians. I'm not trying to be rude, but definitely objective and honest here. If the resurrection life was really working in our lives, you'd see a different fruit, a different production coming out of our daily life. We wouldn't just be attending some country club pep rally on Sunday morning, the rah-rah, you know, crowd, and then leaving without being changed. We'd be learning the cross. And when there's the cross in your life, there's nobody going to stop that resurrection life of Christ. And that resurrection life of Christ is going to explode sometime. It's going to be manifesting as the glory of God on your countenance, the love, the joy, the peace, all of the dimension of the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead is also going to quicken, make alive your mortal body. And that's going to happen only and as you're dead and buried with Christ. Somebody says, how do I live a crucified life? Well, that's a good prayer to start with, to ask God and also to study the very thoughts of his heart, which are revealed to you and I in Holy Scripture, Psalm 33, 11. Okay, so only those that are dead are freed from sin. Romans 6, 7. Have you ever meditated on that? I want you to capture that. And I want you to pour over this whole chapter. For he that is dead is freed from sin. There it is. Those that are dead, crucified with Christ, Galatians 2, 20. Another memory verse there for you. More than just memory, something you can declare prayerfully. You can pray. You can meditate on. It's only those that are dead that are going to be freed from sin. So why haven't we been freed from sin? Because we're not learning this cross. Now, I'm not saying you're going to deny yourself, take up your cross, and be perfect at the cross immediately. I'm certainly not. I'm just learning. I have been for several years. But, you know, it's something we can't evade. It's at the center of the gospel, the original gospel, of which very few preach today. Very few. If there's no cross in it, it's another gospel, folks. The blood of his cross, Colossians 1:20, and the cross he commanded you to take up if you're going to follow him. That's why so many, probably 90% of the people in America that proclaim to be of Christ and following Christ are doing things their own way, not the way the Lord prescribed, which is the cross. That's the solution, folks. That's the victory. That's the answer. That's Christ's prescription for complete and total victory in this life. Verse 8, Romans 6. Now, if we be dead, there's a death with Christ. There's the co-death with Christ. We believe that we shall also live with him. Notice live with, that's the resurrection. See it? Let me read it again. Romans 6, 8. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Verse 9, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Here it is again. He died, now he lives. Death, burial, resurrection. Liveth is the resurrection. Verse 11, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, verse 12, therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof, neither yield ye your members of instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God, for sin shall not have dominion over you, you that are denying yourself, taking up your cross and following Jesus in this context, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. And this ties grace and the cross in this package integrally, inseparably together. Okay, verse 17, just jump to 17. But God be thanked that you were in the past, before you got saved, the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Wow. Notice the word doctrine. This is the doctrine of the cross. Christ's propitiatory cross, the blood of his cross, Colossians 1, verse 20, 1 John 2, 2, is a propitiation for the sins of the whole world, okay, the atoning sacrifice. But also this cross that he's talking about in this chapter, preceding this verse, of the crucified life. See, ye have obeyed from the heart. Let it be, O God, in each of our lives. From the heart, you obeyed God. You obeyed that form of doctrine which was delivered you. That's the doctrine of the cross, and its two aspects, Christ and your own. Verse 18, being then made free from sin, hello, we are to be made free from all sin, saints. Don't let anybody lie to you and tell you otherwise. Jesus died to deliver us from all sin. We see that over and over in the scriptures, including in Titus 2:14, which says that Jesus gave himself for us that he might, why did he give himself for us? That he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar, that means a special people, zealous of good works. Okay, now verse 22 as we close this section here. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness. Amen. If you walk in with God, it's always going to produce the fruit of holiness. And the end, everlasting life. Keep in mind, as we see again in this verse, we see all over Scripture, that holiness and everlasting life are inseparable. Okay, Hebrews 12:14 says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. That's self-interpretive. No man's going to see the Lord. If a man dies outside of a state of holiness, that means you're separated unto God. Okay, that you're not going to see God if you don't die in a place of sanctification with the Lord. There's no getting around it for any honest Bible student. And I'll make no apology for it, by the way. We need to be honest with the whole of Scripture, saints. So you're being made free from sin through the cross of Christ and your own conformity to your cross, to be denying yourself, taking up your cross and following him, and the resurrection life of Christ reigning in your life, not sin, but Christ. You become the servants of God. You have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. Otherwise, what? Verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is still death, saints. Because God is holy, holy, holy. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Okay, so we're talking about why and how so much could be taught about the battlefield of your mind and overcoming evil thoughts. And yet, all of this with the absence of the cross message. Okay, that's like having a car without a gas tank. Or having a car with a gas tank, but the gas tank's empty. There's no power generator. There's no fuel. the fuel of God is going to be the grace of God raising you up, beloved. I call it Resurrection Grace as a podcast on safeguardyoursoul.com. I want to encourage you and call your attention to that. To look it up, just go to the search box there and put in Resurrection or Resurrection Grace. I believe that one will really encourage you. The only way that we can live the Christian life, or the Lord live it through us, if you will. Remember, Christ that liveth in me, Paul speaks of in Galatians 2:20. As he's crucified, Christ lives in him, and it's by the grace of God that he is what he is and that we are what we are. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. That's the divine prescription for total victory in every area of your life. To be raised up in the divine grace of God, which is defined as the operational power of God, the divine enablement of God. And that comes with that raising up. Amen. Divine grace goes far beyond unmerited favor in initial salvation, saints. Let's peer into this glorious resurrection grace that comes as we choose to love God, and whether we understand it or not, we won't understand it fully, ever, really, but especially not in the beginning. We conform ourselves to the image of Christ. We offer our bodies a living sacrifice. I mean, stop for a minute and think, your life's not working correctly anyway. What do you got to lose? Goes right there. What do you got to lose? Lose your life. Then you'll have Christ's life, and you'll be full of joy, and you'll stop and go, wow, this is what Jesus meant. This is how the Christian life is lived right here, by the power of God. It's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Zechariah 4:6. This isn't about trying harder. This is about dying deeper, about letting go and letting God. It hasn't worked any other way. Even though you've been learning scripture and you've read all these books about the mind and the thoughts and the battlefield of your mind, etc. But the key to the gospel is being left out. And that's the full victory, the overcoming, powerful grace of God to bring you not only into fruitfulness in your own life and victory over all sin, but into powerful ministry. That's how we abide in Christ, John 15. Growing in grace, abiding in Christ, crucified with Christ. Amen. Let's talk a little bit about the lay of the land. I want to touch on it again. There's a lot of people making a lot of money talking about our thought life, the battlefield of our mind, etc. Let's see, the battlefield of our minds, etc., while never mentioning the only victory prescription that gives us the victory, and that would be the prescription of the cross. Amen. That's what gives you the victory. He that is dead is freed from sin, but they aren't standing up there telling you that. They're going to spend the whole 2 hours talking about other things that fancy the mind and appeal to the flesh. Okay, and go on telling stories. I'm thinking of Joyce Meyer. That's a catastrophe right there, by the way. That's a word of faith heretic from hell who says that Jesus had to go to hell to die for our sins. Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. So who's lying, Joyce Meyer or Jesus? I got my conclusion. You'll have to choose your own. The crucified servant of the Lord has within him the grace, that is, a divine enablement to overcome these iniquitous thoughts that once ruled his life. And they will continue to rule our lives, friends, until we're crucified with Christ. That's the only victory that is going to be found. When you're in a crucified state, and you're going to be at total peace when you are. Those evil thoughts that have controlled us emanate from the unsanctified heart, the uncrucified heart, the uncircumcised heart. And so when the crucifixion, the death, burial, and resurrection, the crucified life, the crucifixion reaches down deep that into that iniquitous bent, those iniquity, those bends of iniquity are reduced, they're deflated, they're brought to naught, but only through the cross. Galatians 5:24, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. That's the only way that the evil, the depravity of our hearts is going to be shut down and stopped from controlling our lives. That's where all sin starts with. Remember James 1, verse 13 through 15. Let no man say, James writes, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. That those iniquities came from the fall of man when Adam and Eve fell. Okay, and then the state of fallen man, the thoughts of his heart were only evil. Get it? Meditate on that. Only evil, continually. Okay, there's no stopping them except through Christ's cross applied in your daily life, beloved. James 1:14. But every man is tempted. Some people talk a lot about the devil putting thoughts in your minds, and we know that can happen and does happen. But I tell you what, I believe we see right here that those evil thoughts are coming out of your own wicked, sinful nature. As is described throughout Scripture, as I've been quoting the whole message on and off, Genesis 6:5-12. Also Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things, and not only wicked, but desperately wicked. Who can know it? So verse 14, and I believe that goes hand in hand with this, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lusts, which are in, resident in, and emanating out of that fallen nature, that depravity of heart, which is the thoughts of our heart, are only evil continually, is how it's described. So he is tempted, drawn away of his own lust and enticed. The only way to stop that, and this is what's missing in the modern false gospel, saints, is the cross. You've got to have the cross at the center of your life. Now, you can dismiss this message all you want, but if you're a true child of God, he is going to draw you back to it. And I believe he's going to lead you to camp out on it. Now, and that's why we have such a huge section on this topic. Look up Daily Cross under the D's on the category menu, drop down, go to D, Daily Cross. I want to encourage you to go through all those messages. And if you will obey God through his word, enabled by the Holy Spirit, as you surrender to him, you're going to have a changed life. But we've created that category and all the wealth of info in it for you to be able to camp out on this message, the message of Christ, as he gave us in his original gospel. Amen. Verse 15, James 1. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So we learn here that God is not the author of any temptation. He's holy, holy, holy. But these wicked thoughts we're tempted by come out of our own lust, verse 14. And then what happens then? When lust has conceived, and it started with a thought, it bringeth forth sin. You know, you fall into the act of it. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death, or separation from God. Remember, another thing never taught in the modern church is that God is holy, holy, holy. We read that in the Old and New Testament, the only attribute of God ever, named in triplicate. Not only once, by the way, but twice. Isaiah 6:3, Revelation 4:8. Okay, so it's not enough to know that God wants you to think on those things that are true, honest, just, pure, and lovely. You've got to obey God in the prescription of the cross to see the performance of His victory manifested in your life. The daily cross, the crucified life, is a divine power generator for overcoming all sin and all of Satan's wiles or schemes. And it all begins with fresh repentance, which Jesus delights to hear and welcomes you to render as you come before Him afresh with words of confession and repentance. Okay, saints, let's pray together. Father, we ask You in the name of Jesus to grant Your children pure hearts, Father, as only You can bring about. And You said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Please break me to the core of my being, dear Heavenly Father. Break us that You might make us whole in Your holy image, Lord Jesus. I have no hope, dear Father, without You. Without You, I can do nothing, Jesus. Do a deep work in me, Lord. Break me, wound me, and make me whole, dear Lord Jesus. You are my potter, and I am thankful that You created me. Let my life glorify You. I'm the clay, and You're the potter. So be it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcast on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture rich and Christ centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month. And your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site. And you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so. And a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together, in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.